Welcome to this episode of Shared Soil, a podcast dedicated to creating community, honoring challenges, and encouraging personal and professional growth for all people in agriculture. My name is Kendall Cornelius, and I'm a field specialist for agricultural business management with UNH Cooperative Extension.
And I'm Rebecca Duby, providing communication and technology for the specialists of UNH Extension.
And today we are going to be talking about, why are tools taboo? So we already talked about tractors, and I kind of shared a little bit about my love for large equipment and backhoes and tractors and all that kind of stuff. And today we're going to be talking about something a little bit smaller, but just as fun. And that's why we have Wendy Weisinger from the New Hampshire Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests with us today. And I'm going to introduce her with a little bit of a fun story before we let her introduce herself. I had the honor of kind of like co and assistant instructing a chainsaw safety weekend retreat. Really, it was back in June for women. And I had met Wendy before, and my husband has worked with her before in a professional like forestry capacity. And I'd heard a lot about her, and I knew she was a cool person, but it really solidified in my mind when at the end of this whole weekend of chainsaw safety and training, and she's like, well, I got to get home. I got to put in a new floor and a new toilet in my renter's bathroom and blah, 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 blah. And she's talking about it like it's like something she does like on a daily basis. And I was like, she is just great. Like, this is a real intrepid woman. And so I thought she would be the perfect person to talk about all things chainsaw and tool related and her experience teaching women about equipment and chainsaws and operation safety. So hi, Wendy. How's it going?
Hi, Kendall. Thanks for the intro.
Absolutely.
Fixing things.
So just tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And just, yeah, give us some background.
Sure. I guess the short of it is I'm from New Hampshire, born and raised here. And I was an outdoors kid growing up, you know, and ultimately ended up at the University of New Hampshire thinking I wanted to be an outdoors major of some kind. You know, I wanted to be able to work outside. And so I went in to sign up for classes and met my advisor. And I'll never forget, he said, well, what would you like to sign up for? I'm like, I don't know. You know, wildlife management sounds like a lot of fun and interesting. And he's like, well, that's full. And he's like, what do you think about forestry? And my response was, what's forestry? I had no idea coming out of high school what forestry was. And so he signed me up for forestry, and that was it. It's stuck. It's been an awesome career and a lot of fun. I got my bachelor's in forestry and ended up at the state of New Hampshire for about 6 months as a forestry technician after college, and then worked for an engineering firm for a couple of years as a survey technician and learned a lot of cool skills there. And then ended up at the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests as a forestry technician. And I've been there since 2004.
Now, what does the Society do? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The Forest Society is New Hampshire's oldest and largest state land trust. So we own and protect land statewide in New Hampshire. We've been around since 1901 and have helped protect over 1 million acres in the state of New Hampshire in our time. We have about 50,000 acres of conservation easements that we monitor. We also own about 60,000 acres, or one of the state's largest private landowners. That 60,000 acres is my purview, and I'm responsible for managing those acres. That's about 200 properties across the state. So we do forestry and wildlife management. We do recreation. You know, we own most of Mount Monadnock and Mount Major and a lot of iconic places in the state that we manage for public access. We also do education and we do advocacy. You know, we advocate for environmental policy for New Hampshire. So those are the basic things about what we are. We're based out of Concord and own and work throughout the state.
Cool. And you also teach chainsaw safety and operation. How long have you been like teaching that? Like, give us a background. Well, first, and this is going to be a silly question to ask, but like, what is it that you like love the most about running a chainsaw?
What do I love the most about running a chainsaw? I'm not even sure I've thought about that in the past, but it's just extremely useful. a tree came down across my driveway one day and I just went and dealt with it. I didn't have to wait for somebody. It's really kind of convenient. It's one of those tools you just keep in your truck when you're working because you never know when you're going to need to deal with a tree across the road or something like that. Bucking up firewood and taking down hazard trees is just like, it's a really useful skill, I guess.
Well, and speaking to that, then it's really useful that anybody has some knowledge of how to use it. So if that emergency came up, you could access a chainsaw and thus know how to use it and not feel right. that because you're mm-hmm. female, you are opt out and you don't need to know how to do that, or you could not just do that. Which plays into what we're talking about here, in that it's really something open to anybody.
It is, you know, and I think I just got lucky in my direction in life that I put myself in a situation where I was going to learn how to do this. I certainly was somebody who opted out when I was younger, and you know, my dad ran a chainsaw and I picked up the firewood and piled it, you know. And then as I got into school and was around people running chainsaws, I was like, well, it would be a lot easier if I could also just do this. And so I started myself in that direction. You know, it definitely takes some conscious effort to put yourself out of your comfort zone. And you have to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
And once you're willing to do that, you really do pick things up. And we've all done things to be outside of our comfort zone throughout our lives. And so this is just one other opportunity and direction to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I want to visit something you said about, like, this is a useful skill. So much of what we teach at the Women in Ag program here, so I teach tractor safety and operation, I teach truck and trailer driving. It's all about kind of getting at the root cause of what's holding women back from being successful in their farming enterprises. So we also know that there's a lot of women landowners in New Hampshire. I'm sure you know a lot more about the statistics about that than I do. But what's interesting is that many of these farmers are also landowners, and they may have a woodlot, but they may not understand that they have a potentially, I want to say, successful asset there for a new enterprise on their farm, firewood sales and or clearing trails for hay rides or wagon rides or whatnot. So it's not just that we're talking about this because it's a really important topic to talk about. We're talking about it because this has the potential to give someone a skill who could really change the value of their business and actually make them a viable operation. So I think that kind of adds an extra layer of importance to saying, like, it is not just because we want to talk about it because it's chainsaws and they're cool, but also because I'm really hoping that we can equip women in agriculture and women in forestry with the ability to be making their own revenue sources based on the skills that they have.
Yeah. And I think it's even more than that. It's like, it's also an additional revenue source, but it's also when you have that skill and you're able to deal with things or on your own, it's efficiency, but it's also safety. There are a lot of people who yes. work in pairs or partners or in groups. And if something happens and you don't know how to pick up that chainsaw and use it safely and properly, and you may be in a situation where you need to, and someone else can't do that or is incapacitated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important if you're working with someone, like if you have a partner and you're both out in the woods together, I think it's important that you both can run the tractor, that you both can run the winch, and that you both can run the chainsaw. And it may not be that's your primary responsibility or duty, but I think it's important that you know how to do all of those things. And also that you know how it's done safely, because you want to make sure that your partner is also being safe. And sometimes you have to remind them.
Yeah. I definitely want to get into this safety conversation, because I think that this is like so, so critical for us to talk about. And I'm actually going to open it with a little bit of a humorous story. I had gone up to the State Forest Nursery with AJ, and I was cutting trees up there for just experience, just to say, like, this is something I need to know how to do. He's a great teacher. I'm going to go learn how to cut trees. And so I pulled back into my driveway that afternoon, and didn't I see my neighbor across the street using his chainsaw? Oh my gosh, I'm going to blush thinking about this because I'm a little embarrassed now, but using his chainsaw, and he was wearing boat shoes and shorts and like no PPE. And didn't I pull all the stuff out of the back of my car, and I marched myself across the street And I said, here, I'd like you to put these chaps and these ear protection and eye protection on, and maybe you should consider putting on pants and like steel-toed boots or like composite toes, something to protect you. And he goes, oh no, this is how I've done this my whole life. This is how I'm going to do this. And I was like, okay, well, if you ever need it, it's just in the garage, like, let me know, blah, blah, blah. And you could tell he was like quite shocked that I had never met this neighbor, by the way. This is the first time I met this person. And he's probably thinking, who is this crazy lady like walking over here with all this chainsaw stuff yelling at me to put it on? But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm going to be driving that person to the hospital at some point in time. I might as well make the effort and offer something to him, because some people just don't know. And frankly, some people don't care. But that's how I want to frame this safety conversation to start with. And go. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I want to hear your thoughts.
Did he ever talk to you again?
No, never. He doesn't even wave.
That's been my experience. It's like, I see things all the time. You know, once you're really tuned in to safety, it's like you judge stumps. Now that I know how to fell properly, I judge people's stumps. I do the same thing driving down the road, and yeah. I judge everyone doing tree work, and it's not good. But anyway, I've also noticed that trying to instill my awareness of safety and chainsaw operation on people who aren't asking for that doesn't usually go very far.
But we can say we tried.
I'll try. So what I'll try to do is like just like provide little tidbits to people and see how they respond to it when I'm working with them or if I'm nearby. And then I've also learned to write into contracts that you have to wear safety gear, proper safety gear. Yeah.
So that's an excellent risk management strategy. So you say like they have to wear appropriate PPE for the type of equipment that they're operating. Can you just talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, like if you're hiring someone to do tree, you know, I have to hire people to do tree work for our business and the Vorsity. And, you know, you just want to hire people who are reputable. First of all, how do you know that? It's hard to know who to work with, you know, other than getting references and seeing their work and things like that. But I just write into the contract that they have to wear PPE, both of my loggers and arborists. But it's the same with anyone you're hiring. If you're hiring someone to replace a roof on your house, write into the contract that you expect them to be wearing PPE. I mean, they should be wearing safety slings and things like that. So,
and can I just cut in here a moment to say that PPE is proper protective equipment?
Yeah, personal protective equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
For anyone who may not know.
Yeah. And it's different for any type of, but PPE applies to any kind of work, really, whether it's a carpenter, a roofer, an arborist, a logger. There's PPE that applies to the job that they're doing. And you would just, you know, expect that in a contract that they're wearing PPE, and a good, reputable contractor wouldn't have a problem with that, right?
I love that as a strategy. I hadn't admittedly ever considered that before, but I think that's great.
It comes through life experience, as I hired roofers to do my roof, which is a very high roof, and watched them in the winter in the snow with no safety gear. And that was a mistake I'll never make again. Nobody got hurt, but I was just like, what? Why are they not wearing, you know, I just assumed that they would be doing this. And I now know you never make those assumptions, right? Same with, you know, tree care companies. They're across the board in terms of safety, and you just need to spell it out.
Are people who are learning chainsaw safety for the first time much more open to the safety equipment because they're trepidatious about taking on this very powerful tool in the first place?
Absolutely. I think anyone who's learning, who's coming somewhere to learn something, is going to be open to learning how to do it properly and safely, right? Whether it's a man or a woman or a young person or an older person, if they're coming to a course or they're asking for you to teach them something, they're usually very open to that. It's people who've been practicing a really long time and are lax, with like your neighbor who's in boat shoes and shorts, and I've seen tons of that, right? When they come to a safety course because they've been required to, they may be less willing to change their habits. And that's our job as, or my job as an instructor to, you know, explain why this is important and why it's comfortable and efficient and actually, you know, really not a difficult thing to do. You know, wearing PPE is not a big deal, and it doesn't, who cares if it's a little bit hotter, maybe, like, that's okay. You know, it's better than going to the emergency room. So I think a lot of people, I've taught chainsaw safety to volunteers who are much, much older than me and much have run chainsaws for many years longer than me. And I've taught it to people who have never even touched a chainsaw. And I feel like everyone who takes the course always takes something away, either a tip or something about safety or something about ergonomics that they haven't heard before. And all we can do is present the information and explain the why behind the things that we're doing and put them in a situation where they're comfortable learning and using the equipment.
So I think that's a great transition into picking up this idea of like getting the right tool for the job. And I think there's a little bit of a mindset that at least I saw at that class that you guys hosted was about this whole, well, a battery powered saw is safer because it's smaller and it's lighter. And I kind of couldn't help but get the sense that there's this taboo or this feeling that a lot of women have in their minds that says, like, I have to use a really, really small light saw because the gas stuff, I'm not strong enough to rope over a gas saw. And I loved how there were some really great tools presented to, like, A, how to ergonomically start the saw, but B, the easy start options. Like, there's so much more out there if you just look for it. So I'd love to kind of talk a little bit now about picking the right tool for the job and how that also contributes to a safe work environment, like past just putting on PPE. So I don't know, your perspective, your opinion, your thoughts.
I mean,
we can get a little spicy about the battery powered saws.
It's interesting. I've just been teaching the women's chainsaw course for about 3 years, and I've learned a different perspective teaching that course and a different approach. And what I realize is that people have all different levels of comfort with tools in general, but there's this general fear of chainsaws that everybody has, which is actually a pretty healthy fear, right? But also a general, like, not a very deep knowledge. People don't have a lot of knowledge and understanding of, like, how they work and how many different options there are for them out there. And once you get people in and you're talking with them about, okay, well, you know, if you have a shoulder issue, you might try this saw that has an easy start, or you might try a smaller saw, or you might move up to a little bit of a larger saw that has a decompression valve that'll help you be able to start it a little easier, all depending on their experience, their comfort level and skill level, and their what they want to do, what they want to use the tool for, right? What I didn't say in that is how strong they are. I'm not a very large person. I'm 5 feet tall. I've been running a chainsaw for 20 years, and I've run all kinds of different size saws. And while I may not run a large saw for 8 hours at a time anymore, it's not really about the size. It's about the ergonomics of how you use it and how you're efficient and safe with it. And so you can use different sizes and different styles of saws, except battery saws. I don't know that we want to get into battery saws, but battery saws will injure you just as quickly as a gas-powered saw. And they are definitely promoted as being, like, not necessarily safer by the manufacturers, but they're promoted by, I think, sales as being more accessible to people. And battery-powered drills, we have battery-powered everything, which is wonderful. But I wouldn't look at a battery-powered circular saw as being less dangerous as a plug-in power circular saw. Some reason people look at chainsaws that way, I'm not sure I understand why. They think it's less powerful, which actually isn't true. So there are safety issues with battery-powered saws, and I would say that rather than getting into the details of it, not all battery-powered saws are created equal and are created as safe as gas-powered saws. And so you need to be really educated and careful if that's the route you want to go. We don't recommend them because chainsaw chaps aren't designed to work with battery saws, so yet.
And I think too, there's a kind of continuing that conversation. If people are going to go out and purchase a chainsaw, there's so much, right? Like there's so many different things that you could be using this for. There's a lot of different questions, so on and so forth. But also knowing how to really say, no, this is exactly what I want to the salesperson. So can you kind of talk about the process a little bit of, have you had any success stories of people who have attended this class and then kind of said, I was able to go out and purchase the right thing, or I'm much better equipped now to know that I'm going to buy the right piece of equipment for me?
Yeah, I think that's happened a lot. In the women's chainsaw class, a lot of the people who come to the class, they haven't run a saw or they don't have a saw yet. And we tell them, like, wait until you take the class, until you purchase a saw, if you're planning to purchase. And taking a course like this, what we do is provide you the language, right? There's a whole language to power tools in general.
Yep.
But also chainsaws specifically. And it's very difficult for someone who's not exposed to that or doesn't know it to walk into a store and try to talk to a salesperson who knows all of the lingo, right? So part of what we do is provide that language, like here's all the parts of a chainsaw, here's the different sizes and the different qualities of saws, and here are the different features you might be looking for. That's a huge advantage of this class. We also have many saws with us when we teach these classes to give people opportunities to try different things, right? You know, a salesperson, a good salesperson is going to ask you what your experience is. And honestly, I don't think they usually do ask that question, but they're going to ask you what your experience is, and they should ask you what it is you want to do with the saw. And then they should give you options and explain to you what the differences are in those saws. And and if you can walk into that store and already know some of the things you're looking for, that's great. But certainly I've had a lot of feedback from ladies who've taken the class with me who've done that. And, you know, the biggest piece of advice we give them is, one, buy a chainsaw at a local store that will service it and that also sells safety equipment. You know, you want to have a relationship with a dealer. These aren't really, unless you're a mechanic, a small engine mechanic, you're not really going to be doing a lot of your own service on the engine of this, unless you're Kendall. I know you can, Kendall.
Well, but that's beside the point.
I'm sharpening my own saw and maintaining it, but I'm not adjusting my carburetor and things like that. That's what I bring it to the shop for. And so you want to have that relationship and you want to feel comfortable talking with them. And quite honestly, I've told people if a salesperson isn't making you feel comfortable, then just go somewhere else and ask around about where a good reputable saw dealer is.
You know, it's interesting. I also think that there's something to be said, like, I wish I didn't have to say this, but I'm going to say it. It's okay to stand up for yourself. So I went and had new tires put on my truck the other day. And the person said, well, you know, they mark the tires or whatever with a white pen. And he's like, well, does it matter to you? Or, you know, he's like, how do you want me to put the tires on? Do you want that out or in? And I said, well, does it really matter? And he kind of laughed at me and he's like, no, of course it doesn't. And I straight up said to him, I was like, don't laugh at me. I'm asking you a serious question. You asked me a question. I'm asking to clarify it. Now just give me the information. So you shouldn't ever be laughed at for asking questions either. And like you said, I'm totally there with you. If you don't feel comfortable, go somewhere else, because like people want your business. They should treat you like a paying customer, no matter who you are, what you look like, or how you identify and what you're going to be using this for. And I completely agree that establishing that relationship is critical. And from I'm an ag business person, I look at everything through the lens of money for a farmer. This is really important. If this is a tool that you're going to be using often and it contributes to the viability of your business, having that relationship and bringing it somewhere to be maintenanced in a timely fashion and in a way that's going to get you, get the fix that you really need, an honesty and transparency sort of situation, is really critical. So getting the right person to start with, I think, is worth taking the time to shop around and find someone you're really willing to work with. And if you're investing in a chainsaw, chances are you're going to have that piece of equipment for quite a while. You may need to purchase something else if you come across something that it's not appropriate to be used for, like a different size or something like that. But it, at least for the first purchase, like that's something I would definitely tell people to take their time and do it right, because that's, it's a critical piece for your business and for your peace of mind.
It is. And you want it to work when you need it to work. And it's, it can be a very expensive tool, right? Or many tools, because you can definitely start collecting them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and I've been to a lot of different saw dealers, and I think I've been fortunate enough because of my background to have fairly good relationships and some great relationship with saw dealers. They keep going out of business, and that's been difficult. Hmm. Three of my best saw mechanics are not in business anymore. And that's been a struggle, having to find new places to go. Yeah.
It must be hard to shop for a saw if you can't like physically hold it and have it against your body and see how you can handle it best. Not something you would easily just order online.
Right. And it isn't. But a dealership usually has most of the saws there, right? Or they'd be willing to get one in for you. If you go to a plate like a Steel or Husqvarna dealer that has a whole wall of chainsaws, they're going to have everything there from a homeowner level to a professional level chainsaw. There are some other dealers, like, you know, if you go, there's some places that I go to that really only deal in professional grade stuff. So they don't have homeowner level or smaller saws. They're really just dealing with like logging equipment, things like that. But if you go to most dealerships, they're going to have everything there, and they should give you the opportunity to hold them and talk about the ergonomics of them with you. That's something that we go over in class as well, you know, ergonomics and how a saw will fit with you and fit with what you want to use it for. I think that's the hardest thing. How do you know where to even start? I think a lot of people don't know where to start. So we try to give people that starting point, and then advice on, you know, even where to get PPE, right? Like there's so much out there on the internet. How do you know what's good and what's not good and what's right and what's wrong?
I think you bring up the point of ergonomics, and I think that's really important. So there's an interesting phenomenon in agriculture, and I talk about this in our tractor safety class, finding a seat that works well for you, because most tractor and implement seats are not designed for women. They are designed for men. And I say that meaning, obviously we have anatomical differences, and pelvis dimension is one of them. So how would you best describe like the points of a chainsaw that should feel comfortable, or like ergonomically speaking, how would you approach purchasing a saw?
It's funny you say that. I was getting on my best friend's tractor the other day, and he's 6'5", and it took me like 5 minutes to figure out how to move the seat forward so I can touch the pedals.
Yeah.
ergonomics is a lot about weight and weight ratio in terms of when you're moving the saw around. There are different size saws, but they don't make like a saw specifically for a smaller person. And they don't necessarily make saws specifically for, you know, different size hands. They do make smaller saws. Those are also going to be less powerful saws. And I'm not a particularly large person, but I run a medium sized saw that can do generally everything. And I don't have much of an issue with holding on to it. Where things change is your bar length and things that get heavier once you have a bar that's longer and you have more weight out there. So I don't know that I have a perfect answer for that. I think in terms of figuring out ergonomics of like what to look for, you just want to try different saws and hold them. But mostly you want to learn how to operate a saw ergonomically, like how to hold it properly, mm-hmm. how to run it properly. And then the actual, you can handle a lot more than you think you can if you're running it properly and efficiently. So I think it's really more about knowing how to handle it than it is like each specific saw. I don't think there's a huge amount of differences. You probably know more, Kendall, in terms of competition saws and things like that. But like in terms of like homeowner saws, you know, there's a certain amount of them, and they are what they are. You can't change options. You're not going to change out handles and things like that. So find something that's comfortable and weight wise that you think you can hold. Like certainly larger saws get heavier. You're not going to run them as long, but that might be the right saw for you. You just don't run it for 8 hours.
which is kind of where I was hoping this conversation would go in terms of like the most dangerous time to be operating a saw is when you have the last log to cut up and you're fatigued. Like you've been working for that amount of time and you're like, ah, it's just one more. I just got to do it. And that's when accidents happen. So I love what you're saying about that whole learning how to ergonomically operate a saw versus like you can't change the saw very much. I totally agree in like a working situation, but you can pick the right tool for the job. And you can learn how to position your body in a stance that works better for you, how to take frequent breaks. I think the other thing that we don't often talk about with chainsaw operation is the vibration exposure. So like, it's not just like earring, you know, ear protection, but also like when I get done running a saw for like even an hour or like a weed whacker or something, like the vibration in my hands really sticks. And so I have to stop and take a break and let that kind of dissipate before I can move forward. So ergonomics, yes, is about body position. Yes, is about appropriate tool for the fit. It's also just about injury prevention as well and being able to say when enough is enough and knowing that I'd rather cut up that last log tomorrow when I'm not fatigued and, you know, when I have better control over the saw and over my body.
Yeah. And I had to really learn that, particularly at my job, you know, if we're out doing a project somewhere and it's the beginning of the season or when I was just starting, I was working with people who were stronger and had been running saws longer than me, and they could work all day. And I just wasn't there yet and didn't have the ergonomics down and wasn't as efficient at the way I moved. And so I really had to learn to say like, okay, I'm done for today. I'm just going to like schlep brush because I'm tired. And I always knew I was tired because I would start tripping. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that was like the biggest thing. Like once I started tripping, I'm like, oh, it's because I'm tired. I try to tell people when you're just starting out, you know, don't go through more than one tank of gas. That's a lot of sawing. So you do a tank of gas and then set it down. Yeah. Like at the beginning of the season, when you're just starting with your firewood, you just start there and then work your way up. And yeah, it's always like, oh, I have got to do one more thing. And no, you don't really. You just need to get home that night.
Well, yes. Right. With all your fingers and toes and legs and arms.
Yeah. Knowing your limitations is a big deal when you're working with something that's as powerful and dangerous as a saw, any kind of saw.
Here's a little misnomer, like kind of a sidebar that I hear. People are like, well, can I get a left-handed chainsaw? I'm left-handed.
I'm ambidextrous and I ran the same chainsaw left-handed before I ever took a safety class. Yeah, the answer is no. There's one way a chainsaw works, and that's always with your right hand in the back, and there's no other option. So sorry, lefties, it's not like scissors where you might be a left-handed saw. And it's funny, we ask at the beginning of every class, like, who here is left-handed? And there's always a couple, and there's always a couple people that naturally pick the saw up backwards, you know? And so you work through that with people.
Yeah. So I think the last question I want to approach here, because we've talked about a lot of different things, but you know, most importantly, like I really enjoy teaching women different skills, right? Because it, and like we talked about this in the beginning, but it's opening up a whole new world of, I don't want to say independence, but I do want to say it gives them a whole nother opportunity to change their business model, change their structure, give a new enterprise, so on and so forth. I think it also just gives a lot of confidence and it kind of helps them use that in other areas of their life that they would be nervous to approach or to learn a new skill. So my question for you would really be, what is your favorite part about teaching women as, I want to say as a demographic, but teaching these types of classes for you personally, what is so meaningful?
Yeah, I think it's that particularly these women's classes, you know, women are coming to these classes because they don't have another opportunity to learn this. They haven't grown up in a world where they're handed a chainsaw on the farm and said, go do something, you know? And so they're coming here because they haven't had another opportunity to learn and they want to know how to do it properly. And they're comfortable talking with another woman who's been doing this for a while. And for me, it's just the ability to share that with them and share my knowledge in a comfortable space and let them know that they absolutely can do this. So many women have come to this class And they're like, I'm just going to watch. I don't think I'm going to try. And every time I've been able to say, no, you really can do this. And as they watch everybody else start a saw for the first time, they start to think, well, maybe I'll try it. And then, you know, you just are able to work with them. And I've always, every single time they've been able to start the saw, everyone who's thought, well, I'm just going to watch. And every time they've been successful, and it's just been the happiness and the feeling of like accomplishment that you can see on their face is really rewarding. And it's like you're providing them something that they can do for themselves in terms of a skill, but you're also giving them that confidence to know that they've done something that they never thought they would before, right? So that's a really, that's just a really good feeling. And also, you know, there's a lot of women who want to do this. I'm so surprised every time at how many people out there want to do it and just haven't had the opportunity. And so I feel like, well, we're able to provide that opportunity, and there's plenty of room for people to learn.
Yeah. And safe spaces. I think one of the things I noted at those classes most specifically is that if someone couldn't get one chainsaw started, there was another chainsaw to try to start. You know, like it wasn't just like a dead end of saying like, I can't get the saw started, and so I'm not going to even continue to try. There's other options. And so that safe space mentality of saying like, it's safe to try and fail and make a mistake here, and then really enjoy that learning process that allows women to struggle without the tool being taken away from them and started just because they're not doing it fast enough. It's a really great opportunity for somebody to take their time and learn the process and relish in that action of learning, instead of just feeling like you have to, you either have to know exactly everything before you get to the task, or you know nothing, and so you're kind of like not even going to start to try to learn it. I think there's a little bit of magic in that ability to feel safe to make a mistake and know that you've got instructors there to help keep you safe, but we really want you to try to struggle and figure it out yourself in that environment of that spirit of learning.
Definitely.
Maybe right. Is how it's
summed up. Yeah, it is. So. It is different than other classes in that, you know, and I think so often we pick up a tool like a chainsaw and we can't get it started. And so we just hand it to the person who's capable next to us and have been doing it. And that's like just our first initial reaction. And this class, that doesn't happen. Like you will get it. You will figure it out. We'll help you. And then you'll know what it feels like and you'll be able to do it again. And so they all are successful in starting us off for the first time. And then they continue to for the whole 2-day class. And it's really an empowering feeling for a lot of people.
Terrific.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? I know we want to wrap up here, but anything else that we didn't talk about that you'd want to talk about, or anything else you want to say or comment on?
I love talking about chainsaws. And
me too. This is the way I want to spend a day. I could talk about this for hours.
I think there's a lot more opportunities than there used to be out there. And I think that if people, you know, have questions, just reach out to University of New Hampshire Extension, the Forest Society, New Hampshire Timberland Owners Association. You know, we will get you going in the right direction if this is something you want to pursue. I think that's the hardest part for people, is finding out where do they go to learn this.
I definitely agree. And I'll take a second here to plug, we have a Women in Ag newsletter, which we could definitely share some resources in that too, like kind of spread the word a little bit the next time these classes come out or they're scheduled. So we've got that opportunity.
Yeah, and just like your Women in Ag, we have women in the Women in Woodlands in New Hampshire, and that's our program to work with women landowners in a forestry setting. So certainly get on our listserv as well if you want to learn more about the programs that we're putting on. We'll be putting on a summit in the end of March in New Hampshire, so hopefully people will come to that.
I hope so too. Yeah. What a great opportunity.
And we'll put some links to your site and some of those things in the show notes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Wendy, for joining us today and some great talk about chainsaw safety and just women working with tools. Always a great topic. And we'll be talking to you all again in our next episode of Shared Soil.
Shared Soil is a production of University of New Hampshire Cooperative Extension, an equal opportunity educator and employer. Views expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the university, its trustees, or its volunteers. Inclusion or exclusion of commercial products in this podcast does not imply endorsement. The University of New Hampshire, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and New Hampshire counties cooperate to provide extension programming in the Granite State. Learn more at extension.unh.edu.